to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline D'Est, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Welcome to Right Through the Roof. Today I am speaking with Dom Daly. How are you going, Dom?
I'm really good, thank you. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So a little introduction about Dom. So Dom is a sci-fi writer from Warwick. His first novel, Shattermoon, is out through Joe Fletcher Books in May 2018, so that's very exciting. His short stories have been published also in Andromeda Skyways and Far Orbit Apogee anthologies. So, welcome to the show, Dom.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, let's just start off with a few quick questions to get to know you. So, you know, just think of these as some warm-ups, some kind of jogging on the spot, some side bends. So, when's your favourite time to write?
Favourite time, I guess, would be the morning if I have a day set aside for writing. I tend to get up, have some breakfast, maybe read whatever book I'm reading at the moment, and then that kind of kicks me into it. That's favourite time. I guess that you just need, I think, with a job and family and kids, you just need to write whenever you can. So it's usually only the weekends or the occasional day off that I'll actually get to write in the morning. Usually it's just cramming it in at lunchtime or kind of in the evening when I can find an hour here or an hour there.
So you've written your debut novel. You've also written a few short stories. So what's your favourite medium?
I think definitely long form. I enjoy writing short stories. I just don't think I'm very good at it. I seem to spend almost as much time crafting a short story and going back over it and again and again and again and coming back to it as I would take to write probably a quarter of a novel. I think it's a definite skill. Novels, I enjoy the scope and the amount of space and effort that you can put into it, the time you can spend on it, and you can really develop characters, you can develop the plot, you can get interesting ideas and change direction and go with it. Whereas with a short story, you're quite confined, and I find that quite difficult. Although I've done a few and had a few published, it's not something I think I'm going to move away from that now that I've had a little bit of success with getting a publishing deal. But it's something I might come back to. But yeah, long form's definitely for me.
Yeah, good. So are you a plotter or a pantser?
A little bit of both, probably mainly a plotter. I tend to work up an idea for a novel, and then I'm a great fan of spreadsheets, so I'll tend to try and come up with a rough structure without too much detail attached to it, and then I'll plot in reasonable detail a few chapters ahead, and then I tend to sit down and pretty much write a very detailed plan for each chapter before I go into it, and I find that really helps. If I do that, I get the chapter achieved a lot quicker than if I just go in with some vague ideas. So generally, as I work through a book, I'll have a very clear idea of what's happening in the next two or three chapters and a vaguer idea of what happens next, and that gives me the opportunity to kind of change direction without having wasted too much time and effort on a firm plan further on. So I guess probably a plotter, I'd have to say. I fall into that camp.
That's quite an interesting approach. I've not heard anyone talk about that before, because it's usually, you know, they say the big picture, you know, beginning, middle and end, or maybe not the middle, but the end, but just to keep a couple of chapters or a chapter ahead of yourself.
I have a rough idea, but quite often the end, I have no real idea what's going to happen, and I figure that's going to grow out of the rest of it. And also, I mean, the best thing ever, and I find, is when the characters kind of make decisions for you. It doesn't happen that often, but when it does and it really surprises you, that's fantastic. And I think it's important not to, well, for me at least, not to stand in the way of the characters when they have when they kind of take on a little life of their own and you know, take you in an unexpected direction. So, and I hate wasting time. Writing's a real slog for me. It's that old saying, I enjoy having written, but the actual writing sometimes is like banging your head against the wall. So, so the more efficient I can make the process and the more I can produce with the less amount of pain, the better.
So what's your writing fuel of choice?
I don't think I really have one. I would like to say biscuits, but if I ate biscuits all the time that I wrote, they'd have to knock the wall down to get me out of the house, I think. So I'll have a coffee, and if I need a break, I'll get up and make myself another coffee. But I tend to just kind of sit there and tap away and stare off into the distance. So I don't think I really have a fuel.
A favourite type of biscuit?
Plain chocolate hobnobs.
Ah, very English.
Yeah. Is it? What are yours?
Oh, no, it's just that I don't think you can get them anywhere else.
Well, it's difficult to get them here, actually. That's a bit annoying. I have to go to particularly large supermarkets, I find, in my area. So, but that's probably a good thing because I'd eat my own body weight in them if I could. So,
hobnob biscuits are something I just associate with the UK. So, yeah. Okay, so we've talked about biscuits. So now let's talk a little bit more about your writing. So, how do you describe your writing, and what themes do you like to explore?
I struggle with themes. I don't really know what my themes are until I've kind of finished the book and then read it and thought, oh, I guess that's the theme. So, but I mean, for Shattermoon, I would have to say it's about friendship, loss, a kind of companionship and being there for each other. There's also a fair amount of dealing with overprivilege and disparities in society and the super rich kind of taking advantage of kind of the less fortunate, and then in the background, although it's probably more for the second book that I'm working on at the moment, there's sort of the shadow of war comes into it. So talking about war and the impact it has on ordinary people, and also to some degree I'm fascinated by kind of what it would be like to be in a society when something like the Nazi Party takes over. What it's like for the ordinary people and the choices when you're not really given much of a choice and you have to kind of either you have to make a decision to stand up to it or face whatever consequences that brings or kind of go along with it. And that's really interesting to me. So I'm trying to, again, into the, not so much Shattermoon, but more the second book, trying to bring that in to some degree as well. So and what you would do in that situation and how much you can blame people who kind of buckle under. It's interesting, I think.
Absolutely. But also on spaceships.
Of course. Yes. This is all, set in a kind of society, a human society far from Earth, about 500 years in the future. So, we're talking about a high-tech society, but then the most of the wealth and the technology is centered around a cluster of seven systems, the Fountainhead systems, and the other colonies, the planets further out from there and on the rim of human space are much different places, lower technology levels, taken advantage of for their resources. So that's the kind of setting that I have.
Some big world building there.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. It's it's difficult not to go back over stuff that's been done already. So much has been done already. So just have to kind of give it a new slant or a new angle that perhaps hasn't been done before. I live in constant dread that, because I haven't obviously read every book that's ever been written about science fiction or other subjects, and I always worry that, you know, I've come up with something that has been done before, and people often tell me, you know, well, that's very similar to such and such. But as long as it's not a carbon copy, I think you're okay.
Mm-hmm. Good. So in your improvement of your writing, so going from short stories to now your debut novel coming out, so what's the one thing that you think that has been most helpful to improve your writing?
Couple of things. I think one of them is more well known, so I'll come on to that later. But I think for me, it was joining a group that I know you're familiar with. The British Science Fiction Association has their Orbit groups, which they put together a group of writers, and then every 2 months, each writer sends in 15,000 words. Of whatever they're working on, and all the other writers in the group will critique that. And I got into that almost immediately when I made the decision about 5 years ago to really seriously concentrate on my writing. I thought this is something that could be useful, and it was amazingly useful. Not so much, I think, the critiques that I got back on my work from the other participants, but quite often me critiquing the work of the others, because it kind of trained my mind in a way on what not to do. So I was picking up things that people were doing that I knew were wrong from having read around it, or just felt wrong to me. Going through that process it's improved my own writing no end, because when I was writing, I got to the point where I'd write a sentence and think, oh, no, that's something that I've already kind of told someone else not to do, or I haven't liked in this piece of work that I looked at. So that whole collaborative kind of process of people commenting on my work and more so me commenting on theirs, certainly for the first few years, was incredibly useful, I think, in improving my own writing and helping me kind of find a voice. I'm not even sure whether I have really found a voice yet, but it's certainly moving in that direction. I think that whole critiquing process, and I did something similar for my short stories as well with a website called critters.org, yeah, which is an American site. It's been running since the 90s. And you can send in short stories and you can critique other people's short stories. And that again, very, very useful for picking up tips and also because you get all kinds of levels of writers in there. So those that are perhaps not as well developed as you in your position, you can help along. And you've also got people in there who've, you know, been writing for years and had great success, and they're giving you really valuable tips. So I'd say that really, really helped me.
Good. So are you trying anything new right now?
No, I don't think so. My process has changed slightly, because I would always I'd always take a year or so to write the book, and then I'd be sending it into the Orbit group. But because it's a 2-month turnaround, I'd never get the whole thing through probably. And then when I finished it, I'd send the book off to a few of my friends that I value their opinions and use them as beta readers. And then I'd probably take a month or two off and then come back to it, and then go through it again and take on board what I've been told about it, and just read through it myself. I'd probably load it up onto my Kindle and read it, because it kind of feels more like a real book then, and I'd pick up things going through. But now I've got a deadline to get the second Shatter Moon book in, which is in a couple of weeks, and I'm just getting to the point where it's almost finished. So I haven't got that luxury of taking time and then coming back to it. I'm just going to have to trust that the editor will perform that part of the process for me. So, so I'm not really trying anything new, I don't think, except that I'm in this whole new kind of process, I guess, perhaps that counts.
So how does that feel to have the deadline looming over you this time around?
It's not nice. It feels okay, and I think I'm going to get it in. Sorry, my phone's just going to turn off. I really like that period of leaving the book to rest and then coming back to it. I'm a bit nervous that because I'm so close to it at the moment, what I send in, maybe I'm going to get a load of stuff back saying, oh, this doesn't work and that doesn't work, and I that's something that maybe I would have picked up on if I'd had that time. But but this is all new to me. So, I mean, it's a tried and tested way of getting books published. So I'm sure it'll be fine. Maybe I'll try and finish it a little bit earlier next time because I have been goofing off a little bit. So rather than working on it nonstop. So, yeah.
Moving on to more what inspired you originally to write. So what writers inspire you and why do they inspire you?
So Shatter Moon is about a character called Ori Aurelia Kent, who is a 20-year-old con woman who, when we start off seeing her with her family, her father and her brother, who are the kind of their little crew, and then things very quickly go awry. And when I originally wrote, I mean, I got inspiration sort of from various places, but she wasn't actually a con woman in the first draft. And I was reading Scott Lynch's Loch Lomora books, which are absolutely fantastic. And I thought this is, and they're obviously all about a group of con men and women. And I thought this is great. I've got to try and do something along these lines. So I'd have to cite, yeah, Scott Lynch as well as one of my favourites. Probably the best series of books I've read in the last few years, for that reason. And also the Harry Harrison books, the Stainless Steel Rat books, which were favourites of mine when I was a teenager. Again, about sort of a con man, which is, really interesting. Although a bit of a pain to write, actually, when I came to write it, planning heists and cons and things can be a bit time-consuming, but great fun.
So just the process of thinking out the cons?
The research as well, which is quite interesting. And then thinking, oh, I could probably do that, but no, I shouldn't. It's not very morally correct. But it can be quite often. I'll leave myself a little note saying, you know, really elaborate heist here, and then I'll come back and think, oh, I hate passed on so much. But no, it's good. Yeah, really good. So. Scott Lynch, I think, Harry Harrison. I'm a big fan of cyberpunk type novels. So Neil Stevenson, fantastic. And recently I've been getting back into William Gibson. I sort of didn't read any of his for about 10 years, so I'm catching up on all the great stuff he's done. I read The Peripheral recently, which is an amazing book. The thing about Gibson is that he just makes you really work for it, I think. He'll have this incredibly well-realized world, but he won't really tell you anything about it. He'll drop you into the middle of it and he'll drip feed you little bits of nuggets of information. Mm-hmm. And for the first half of the book, I just felt exhausted. I was just working so hard to try and piece everything together. And I think that's incredible. And I tried to do something similar in the first draft of Shatter Moon. And then I was just told, look, this is ridiculous. You're not actually telling anyone anything. I don't know what's going on. And I thought, well, yeah, I'm not William Gibson. Maybe that's probably not the best way to get published, is to make your book really hard work for the reader. Mm. But I can see how it wouldn't appeal to everybody. But I love that. I love that. And the feeling of satisfaction you get when it all starts to click into place and you realize what's going on. And then from then on, it's just absolutely amazing. So William Gibson's a real idol of mine. Do you want a few more? Or?
Oh, no, that's plenty.
Cool.
So in terms of Shatter Moon, you've talked about the cons being inspired by Scott Walsh, and you've also talked about some of the themes. Was there anything else that inspired Shatter Moon, the story of Shatter Moon?
I've always wanted to I've always been a massive fan of kind of golden age sci-fi, and also just things like Star Wars and more recently Guardians of the Galaxy. I love that kind of rip-roaring adventure story just set in space. I'm by no means a hard science fiction writer. I tend to try to obey the laws of physics where possible, but quite often there's a little bit of hand-waving involved, and things might be termed as magical rather than scientific. But I try to be reasonably rigorous, but I'm not a scientist and I'm not clever enough to kind of grasp all of the ins and outs. So I just write adventure stories that are set in space, and I try and chuck some cool technology and spaceships in, really. So I'd always wanted to write a story like that. And I found that the first few books that I wrote weren't really that kind of classic space opera type books. They were more sort of maybe science fiction fantasy or kind of time travel and demons and a bit contemporary and things like that. And so I thought, well, no, each time I write a book and it doesn't get picked up, or it didn't get picked up by a publisher, the next book I'd write, I'd try and do something different and move off a tangent to try and cover, you know, as many different kind of areas as possible to give myself as much of a chance as possible to get a deal. So I thought, why not just go for a space opera? I'm also a big fan of characters and the relationships between characters. I think that can really, really make a novel or a film for me when there's that chemistry between the characters. And one of the films that I've always really liked for that is True Grit. The original and I think the remake, they've done a really good job as well. So that idea of I was looking for an interesting combination of characters that hadn't really been done before in an SF kind of setting, and I thought that grizzled, grumpy old man and kind of maybe naive or opinionated young girl kind of pairing was really interesting. And that's where the kind of ideas of the characters in the book, there's Ori, who's obviously the girl, and she falls in with this grizzled old kind of space hermit called Jürgen Mender, and he's a right grumpy old bugger, and there's that whole clash of their personalities. He rescues her and then they kind of realize they've got something in common, and they go off on this quest together, and hopefully that relationship kind of grows over the course of the novel, and they sort of go through disliking each other, then a grudging kind of respect, and then admiration, and then they end up, you know, really, really close by the end of it. So yeah, I'd have to say, I think in terms of the characters and a little bit of the story, I think True Grit was a big inspiration there.
Yeah. Great. A Western in space.
Yeah, kind of. It's not. We're not talking. We're not talking Firefly levels of Western. But there's that relationship definitely. I think, and a kind of classic quest. But I guess that the Westerns nick that from other places, didn't they? So yeah.
Good. All right. So I will wrap up now and let you get back to your day. So you've spoken about how you've got a deadline looming. Do you know what's next after that?
I wrote between Shattermoon being picked up between getting an agent for Shattermoon and getting the deal, I was writing, doing my usual thing of trying to write something completely different. So I wrote a contemporary fantasy set in kind of England, London, and West Country. So I managed to get a first draft of that polished up a little bit before I had to start work on the second Shattermoon book. So I'd like to go back to that and see what state it's in and finish that off, which hopefully won't take too long, and get that off. And then after that, I guess it depends how Shattermoon does, whether I need to start on the third book or because I've got a two book deal. So it all depends, I guess, on how those two do, whether they'll be interested in the third one, because it's a five book cycle that I have planned. But I'm tempted to try something different again. And I've got some ideas, but I'd need to go back and look at them and decide which ones are really speaking to me at the moment. So I don't really know once I get this contemporary fantasy out of the way. But hopefully, and probably, Shattermoon 3. So.
Fantastic. So we've only got a few months till Shattermoon comes out, so 6 months or so, May 2018. So
until I believe that- the the review copies will be circulating in a month or so. So, look out for those.
Excellent. So in the meantime, wrapping up, where can people find you and read your work?
I have the anthologies that my short stories have appeared in are all available on Amazon. If you just put Dominic Dully in, I've got an author page there, and you can pre-order Shattermoon if you're interested there as well. To find me, the best place is Twitter, and that's just at Dominic Dully. That's what I'm most active on. I am on Facebook if you want to search there for Dominic Dully as well, but mainly a Twitter person. Yeah,
great. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dom. It was really great to speak to you.
Thank you very much, Madeline. It was a pleasure.
Now, today is a story of trying something new that didn't go so well. As you heard earlier in the show, Dom spoke about the British Sci-Fi Association critique groups, the Orbit groups. What Dom alluded to is that he and I are actually part of the same critique group. So we share 15,000 words of our current novels every 2 months. And recently I read a piece of advice from Chuck Palahniuk about removing excess words from your prose. The words included was, has, believed, remembered. Now this is great advice, and who am I to argue with the guy who wrote Fight Club? But I think I took his advice a little bit much to heart. So after reading his advice, I got out my editing red pen and stripped out a whole bunch of words. There was something really fun and freeing about cutting out stuff left, right and centre, but I think I went a little bit too far. In fact, I know I went a little bit too far. The next month when I submitted my critique to the group, which included Dom, they all came back with exactly the same feedback. Too many disjointed sentences, which ended up affecting the whole flow of my story. Too much pruning, I think. And when I get unanimous feedback, that means that something really is wrong and has to be addressed. So now I'm back to inserting the odd was and has. But this has also made me think about making mistakes and getting constructive feedback. For a day or two afterwards, I was a little bruised, you know, my precious little ego was thinking I was a terrible writer, and I was actually embarrassed by what I'd submitted. But after a day or two, I gave myself a good talking to, and then rolled up my sleeves and got back in there. So perhaps the lesson in writing from Chuck Palahniuk didn't actually help, but the lesson in overcoming my mistakes or perceived failures was the lesson that I really did need to learn. Thanks for listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedies.com or madeline_ds on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedies.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?